I want to share with us a very important subject this morning. Hallelujah. I'm trying to find the title for it, but we'll get it. I think what's coming on my mind is subjection to the gospel of Christ. I think that's what's coming to my mind. You know, yesterday we looked at what we titled yesterday. So is it preaching the gospel? Subjection to the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. In firstly to the Jews, he says, and then also to the Greek. Now, there is the message of the gospel. And sometimes you think that's what he's talking about, but that's not just what he's talking about. And there's also the character of the gospel. You know, he said that the gospel of Christ to the unsaved, the perishing, he says it's a stumbling block. It doesn't make sense. Christ crucified for others, which is called the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. It says it's an offense. It's a stumbling block. It looks like foolishness. So that means the gospel has a characteristic that is foolish to the natural man. The Bible says the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Because they are spiritually discerned. Say they are foolishness unto him. Hallelujah. Say we have received not the spirit of this world, verse 12, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, with things we speak, with the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing the words with the Holy Ghost teacheth, pardon me, comparing spiritual things, verse 13, with spiritual. So say the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He says because they are foolishness, and they cannot discern it. They cannot know, we cannot understand it. Because they are foolishness unto him. Hallelujah. So the gospel has some characteristics that appear stupid, appear foolish to the natural man. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, he says, I am not ashamed. Why would he say I'm not ashamed? I'm not ashamed, not just the message, but the very character of the message itself. Now, you see that word, I'm not ashamed. Jesus used it in Mark's Gospel chapter 8 and verse 38. Two times. Luke's Gospel chapter 9 verse 26. He that is ashamed of my words, he said, I'll be ashamed before my Father and his angels. Okay. Then you find it used again by Paul in Romans 6:21. Negatively anyway. Romans 6:21. Paul used the same word, ashamed. And he says, what fruit have you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? Something you don't want to identify with. Romans 6:21. Then, very importantly now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8, Paul severally mentions that about his own relationship with Timothy. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. Hallelujah. Be not ashamed. Number one, it says of the testimony of the Lord. Be not ashamed of me, your leader, your pastor, your spiritual father. But be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Hallelujah. Verse 12. For that which cause, he says, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. So I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. Verse 16. He says, Lord, give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus for us. For he often refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chains. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11. For this cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Hebrews 11:16. He says, now they desire better country, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. So the word Paul uses here is the word epai, epaishunomai. Epai, schunomai. Epai, schunomai. It means to identify with a person, a message, or an experience. Because he says he's not ashamed to be called their God. That is, he identifies with them. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I identify with it. In his message, in his character, I identify with it. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Hallelujah. See, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What exactly are we talking about? The gospel has a characteristic. And that characteristic is that, pay attention now, God commended his love towards us. Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I shared with you in Secret Salvation 5, remember? That the reason why Jesus Christ died primarily is to show the character of God. The character of God is giving nature. He made himself, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 28, a ransom for many. That is the characteristic of the gospel. Hallelujah. And anyone who identifies with the gospel, who understands the characteristic and nature of the gospel, will subject himself or herself to that quality, as it were, of the message. What are we preaching? Someone takes the place of others. That's the message. Am I making sense? Someone who didn't do anything wrong, he takes the place of others. Praise the Lord. Now, my text really is from 2 Corinthians and chapter 8, verse 9. And also 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. And I call this the almost lost message of the gospel. That's what I call it. So if I don't know why to title it now. The almost lost message of the gospel. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. There are things that people have believed that go into the very foundation of the truth of Scripture. And this verse I just quoted now is one of such verses that people have twisted, and it's not ordinary. What they have done to that verse is to take away the meaning. I don't know if you have had to drink maybe a soft drink that had a lot of ice block inside. And so, you did not know that the first one that comes out will take away the entire sweetness. So by the time you felt that the thing had increased, by the time they added more water, you felt that it had, the sweetness will increase. So you rush the first fruit. Then you discovered that the more you took it, the more of the block that was there, the ice part, it became diluted. And then after a while, you were just chewing water. That means the softness of the drink has been taken away. The sweetness. And that's how it is when we remove the meaning of a scripture and we put our own, we dilute it. We make it to sound out our own ideas. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 first, then we'll go to verse 1. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Let's read it together. Let's go. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Can we go? I said, everybody, let's go. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Let's take it together. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency, in all things may abound unto every good work. What is he talking about? In the two texts we read, he mentions the grace of God. The grace of God. I know today a lot of people are excited about what they call and term the grace message or the gospel of grace or grace revolution, as the case is. It's amazing that some of them really don't know what grace is. The very meaning of grace is lost in what they preach. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where he opened up the discussion. Moreover, verse 1, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. The grace bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. The word grace is the word charis. It means that which is freely given. That which is what? Which is what? Freely given. The meaning is, it has no conditions attached. It's freely given. The recipient has to do nothing. That's why John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 17 says, the law came by Moses. Grace and truth, the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law. So he teaches the law as the antithesis, or better still, the opposite of the grace of God. The law came by Moses. So the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's the gift of God. Not of your own selves. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ministry is also called the work of grace. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7. The gift of Christ, the gift of grace, talking about the work of ministry. Paul, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Now pay attention to this. So he says, the grace bestowed on the church. The word bestowed there, okay, pay attention, is the word dadomi. Dadomi means to make things available. To make things available. That's what it means. To make things available. In other words, we can see the grace of God in the churches of Macedonia. We can see it. To make it available. Now, let's begin to explain the intent of this verse of scripture. He says, how that in a great trial of affliction. So the church he's using as the example of the grace of God, they have a great trial of affliction. The word trial is the Greek word thupsis. T-H-U-P-S-I-S. It means tribulation. It actually means trouble. It's used 45 times. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4, Paul says, who comforts us in all our tribulation? That we may be able to comfort them which are of any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Hallelujah. Come on. Verse 8. He says, for we would not, brethren, have ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we're pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired of life. That means they were thinking they were going to die. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8. Are you still there? Then verse 24. Praise God. Sorry, chapter 2 verse 4. Pardon me. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. So, the trouble he's referring to here is a distress. That is, this church in Macedonia, they had distress. How can you talk about grace when someone is going through trouble? Hallelujah. This is not what the money gospel preachers talk about. He's talking grace when someone is in trouble. He's talking grace when someone is he's in a whole lot of problems. What kind of problems? The abundance of their joy. That means we can find joy. What? These people are facing a whole lot of problems. Maybe the problem they are facing is emotional. Maybe. So they are trying to curb the emotional problem by just being happy. No. He says, and their deep poverty. Wow. He says deep poverty. You know, there is poverty and there's deep poverty. So, in other words, whatever he's discussing here was financial. They had serious economic challenges in this place. Pay attention here. The word deep here, right, is the word bathos, B-A-T-H-O-S. Jesus used it in Mark's Gospel 4:5 for the depth of the soil, the parable of the sower. Mark's Gospel 4:5, Matthew's Gospel 13 verse 5. Then, when he was talking to Peter, and Peter mentioned about cast your net into the deep, Luke's Gospel 5 and 4. So it's somewhere that you can't even see. You can't see it. Romans 8:39. No depth, no height can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. Romans 11:33 is used for the riches and the wealth of the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10. It says, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? So the things of God knows no man, but the spirit of God. The spirit searcheth, yea, the deep things of God. Ephesians 3:18, that you will know the length, the breadth, and the depth with all the saints. So when you see the word bathos, it means something you can't explain, something you cannot even fathom. So it says the kind of poverty they have is unfathomable. Unfathomable. It's something you can't explain it. You can't even see it. It's so deep, inexpressible as it were. It says poverty. That means the nation of Macedonia had a whole lot of financial distress, which usually, when people begin to have that, it affects them. It affects how they, you know, people say, well, why are you not in church? Well, I had a problem. I'm just wondering what's going on. My car is not working. They slashed my salary, half salary. Even my uncle that I was writing to send some money to me to help me out, he said I should wait till next 3 months. So I'm just not happy. I cannot, you know, that's how, you know, you say you understand. But he's saying to you here, he said, look, these folks, they demonstrate the grace of God in how they walk. Pay attention here. It says deep poverty. That word poverty, you see it again. Use the word, now it has a string of meanings. You have, it's the word P-T-O-C-H-E-I-A. Tochea. P-T-O-C-H-E-I-A. It's used in 2 Corinthians 8:9. So put your hands in 2 Corinthians 8:9. It's there. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Through his poverty, Mark the made rich. Then you also see it in Revelation 2:9. It's from the word P-T-O-C-H-E-U-O. Tochuo. Which is taken from the word used for beggars. P-T-O-C-H-O-S. 34 times that's used. From where you have beggars. Beggars. That is, people that don't have. Beggars. That they practically have to live on support. They have to live on support. Pay attention, guys. And somehow, this is the example that Paul is using to teach the grace of God. I thought he would use the example of those who are, you know, they have luxuries of life. They can afford a holiday every month to the Caribbean islands. That's not the example he gave. The example he gave are the people going through deep poverty. Deep poverty. Are you still there? Now, the word poverty, which I want you to pay attention to, at times is used for non-spiritual things. For example, Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit. Just exactly the same thing when you read about Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We'll come to that. So, he uses the example of these folks. He says to us that they were physically in a whole lot of hardship. But watch this. Their deep poverty, are you verse 2? Are you still there? Now, let's read, and their deep poverty, and finish the rest. Let's go. And their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That's a bit confusing. He said people are poor, yet he called them rich. Riches. Riches of their liberality. Wow. They're poor, yet he mentions the riches of their liberality. Now, the word riches is the word plotus. P-L-O-U-T-U-S. It's used for wealth. Both the material and non-material wealth. Plotus. P-O-P-L-O-U-T-U-S. Both the material and non-material. Now, put your hands quickly to Revelation 2:9. Let me just show you something. Revelation 2:9. The one we read earlier. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. But it says, but thou art rich. Hallelujah. Look at that. I know your works, your tribulation. I know what you're passing through. And your poverty. But he says, I know that you are rich. Hallelujah. Now look at the contrast. Look at the contrast. Revelation 3:17. Because thou seest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, it depends on the subject matter. He says, yes, physically, you are rich. But really, you are wretched, you are naked, you are miserable. He says to other people, he says, you are poor, yes, I know you don't have money, I know you can't afford luxury, but you know what? You are rich. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand the language? Okay. So, when he says to the church at Corinth, Macedonia, talking to the Corinthian church, he says, they had deep poverty, yet it abounded unto riches. Riches, he calls it. Are you still there? Are you there? So, the word plotus can be used for physical things, and also can be used for non-physical things. For example, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, the parable of the sower. Mark's Gospel 4:19, and Luke's Gospel 8, verse 14. I'll take it again. Matthew's Gospel 13:22, Mark's Gospel 4:19, and Luke's Gospel 8:14. The deceitfulness of riches. Talking about the loss of this world. Then it's also used for spiritual things. Go to Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Oh, despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. Romans 9:23. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. Is this natural or spiritual? Respond, people. Is this natural or spiritual? Is this material or non-material? Look at chapter 11. Chapter 11 and 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. We have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his glory. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. That you might know what is the hope of his calling. Hallelujah. The hope of his calling. And the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Ephesians 1, 18. Ephesians 2, 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, rich in mercy. Ephesians 3:8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 16. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:27. to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. You see that the word riches in the epistles is applied for the non-material things more often than not. You see another one, but this one is material. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That's material. Hebrews 11:26. Hebrews 11:26 relates with Moses. And he says, esteeming, pay attention to this one now. He says, esteeming the reproach of Christ. He calls reproach greater riches. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He says the reproaches of Christ, he calls them greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Glory to God. James 5:2. Your riches, natural one now, are corrupted, and your garments have moth eaten. Revelation 5:12. Revelation 18:17. Spiritual. So go back to 2 Corinthians 8. So, if he calls them rich in 2 Corinthians 8, are they rich materially? No. They are rich spiritually in a non-material form. What was the rich? The riches of their liberality. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The riches of what? Their liberality. Don't forget, materially, what is the status of these people? Not just poor. They had what? Deep poverty. Deep. Deep poverty. They couldn't even eat every day. But he says, in spite of that, they abounded. They went beyond their circumstance. There are too many Christians who are controlled by natural circumstance. Their prayer life is affected. When by the time there's no money in their pocket, you will see it all over them. In fact, when you ask them to come and pray, you will see it in the way they will pray. They will pray with anger. There are too many Christians who are controlled by this world. Paul says, I have learned how to abase and how to abound. In every circumstance, I know how to obey. I know how to abound. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Watch this now. It says liberality. Liberality is the word haplotes. H-A-P-L-O-T-E-S. Look at where it's used. Romans 2:8. He that gives, let him do it in liberality. Romans 12:8. 2 Corinthians 1:12. Same place. 2 Corinthians 1:12. 2 Corinthians 1:12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom. Hallelujah. That's great. 2 Corinthians 1:12. 2 Corinthians 9:13. We're coming back to this one. 9:13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all. 2 Corinthians 11:13. 11:3, pardon me. So your mind should not be corrupted from the liberality, the simplicity that is in Christ. The liberality. 2 Corinthians 11. Ephesians 6:5. Ephesians 6:5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. So it says singleness. Same thing in Colossians 3:22. Singleness. So whenever you are discussing liberality, you are meaning sincerity. What that is, there's a singleness of purpose. Singleness of purpose. Liberality. No conditions attached. Liberality. No holding back. Liberality. Are you still there? Are you still there? You cannot use aplotis for a business transaction. You can't use it for it. Because he's talking about a simple-mindedness. No conditions attached. And that's why that word is taken from aplos. Used for God in James 1:5. Is any of you lack wisdom? Let him ask of God, who gives unto all men liberally. So it depicts the very character of God to do things that way. In sincerity. He said he doesn't find fault. Who gives unto liberally and does not upbraid. He does not look for fault. It means he's not conditional. Are you following what I'm saying? Come on, guys. You following what I'm saying? So it's in the character of God. So what exactly did they do? Now pay attention. You will lose this teaching if you think I'm talking about giving money. That's why I said the lost lesson. Inasmuch as we're going to talk about giving money, but you see, it goes far beyond that. It's teaching a very simple truth of Christian service. You know, we're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. The one who saved us by grace. So, he's expecting us to also serve by grace. We'll pick our modus of service from how he saved us. You know, in saving us, he served us. Are you aware of that? He served us. He became a servant for us. And so if you lose the lesson here, just like many have, because they want to, some ignorantly, no doubt, but good number, not ignorantly, mischievously, don't lose the lesson here. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So he says, watch this. Get back to 2 Corinthians 8 again. 2 Corinthians 8. Unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record. And beyond their ability. Beyond their ability. The power. They were willing of themselves. Pay attention here. He said beyond their ability. They were willing of themselves. Themselves. You know, we talk about the hyperbalon of God. The exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe. Ephesians 1:19. According to the working of his mighty power. He says they were willing beyond themselves. Praying us, verse 4, with much entreaty. That is, they were begging us. We knew their problems. We knew how much they lost jobs in their economy. Said, look, that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In other words, the apostles were saying, look, Macedonia, you don't need to contribute money to take to Jerusalem. You have problem. You have your own problems. And they begged us for the saying that, no, let us do this. Let us do this. And we felt, maybe you should just take care of your own needs and, you know, you don't need to contribute. No, let us do this. And Paul says, they have demonstrated the grace of God. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying this morning. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? What is? What exactly? In verse 5. Verse 5 is the key scripture there. For this they did as we hoped. Not as we hoped. But first gave their own selves to the Lord. Hallelujah. When you give yourself to the Lord, things won't matter anymore. They are giving themselves. This is not salvation. People talk about giving your life to Christ. Giving your life to Christ is not salvation. Giving your life to Christ or to the Lord is service. Hallelujah. They gave themselves to the Lord. What is grace? Grace is to give. So they gave themselves. Many can serve. They are serving in the house of God, but they have not given themselves. It says they gave themselves. First, the word there is proton, before anything. That is, before they gave money, before they gave resources, what had they done first? They gave themselves. That's why it was not difficult for them to contribute. You see, people that serve the Lord, you don't need a sermon on giving. Am I making sense here? Am I making sense? They don't need a series. You've given yourself. Givers don't need an angel to talk to them that brother has a problem. Help him. Those who give. They first of all gave themselves to the Lord. Until that happens, you are not ministering with the grace of God. Whether you're in the music team or you are wherever you are, until that happens to you, where you are the one that is available. You are the one that is available. So they gave themselves to the Lord and then to us. Because you cannot give yourself to the Lord and men cannot find you. That's why someone says, well, I have a special relationship with the Holy Spirit. They are selfish people. And they say, it's me and God. It's me and God. Whatever I want to do is between me and God. No. It's not between you and God. You are serving a God whom you will serve through people you can see. You can't serve God and not serve people. Because serving people is serving the Lord. So if people cannot have access to you, they can have access to you, and you cannot be available for them, truth is this, you are not actually available to God. And see, this is a vital lesson in this teaching. To make yourself available. Now, the people we're talking about, in the natural, should they be available? No. They shouldn't be. So Paul is saying the reason why they could give the way they gave. Because we'll pity them. No, not you. I know your condition. You don't, he said no. In spite of my condition. So the money didn't matter much to them. Why? They are giving themselves. Glory to God. Are you still there? So they gave themselves first. So if you start giving things and you have not given yourself, if you start creating time and you have not given yourself, you are operating under a different principle. I'm going to show you that soon. They gave themselves first. So verse 9. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 9. Let's take verse 9 together. Everybody, let's go. For you know. Oh, come on, one more time. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Now, definitely, he's not talking about you being rich materially. Because he's not discussing Jesus being rich physically. That's not what he's discussing. Now say, but how come he puts this example when he's discussing giving physical things? No. He was not just discussing physical things. We just read now that he called the church at Macedonia rich. Was that spiritual or physical? Exactly. So he's using both spiritual and natural terms. The same way John the beloved, John the apostle, in 1 John 3:16, said, hereby we perceive the love of God, that he gave himself for us. So we ought to lay down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Now, definitely, you realize he's using the spiritual to explain the physical. Jesus gave himself for us. Pay attention. Jesus gave himself for us. Now, that's exactly what Paul is teaching here. He now says in 17, if you have the world's goods and your brother is in need, you give him. So he had laid a spiritual principle for a physical act. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Alright, good. So Jesus' being rich was that he was not under anybody's control. But he became poor when he gave himself over to sin. Are you still there? He became poor when he gave himself over. That you, through his own poverty, you were poor. You were under sin. You knew sin. You were sin's captive. He gave himself for us. That we, now by his poverty, by the gift of his ransom, we are now set free. Hallelujah. We are now redeemed. Hallelujah. We are now rich. We are now blessed. Glory to God. So, what is the grace? The grace is in the giving. People have taught this verse, using it to give offerings, to collect money from others, to talk about being wealthy. Mm-mm. What he was teaching was giving. He was teaching giving. He's teaching giving, how we give. He said if Jesus, in his poverty, can make many rich and blessed, that is the grace of God. And so, what did he do? He sent Titus. Watch this. So he would, in verse 6, finish in you the same grace. That is, he will teach you. He will mature you into that grace. Every believer has access to that grace. But it says now, Titus will mature you. It will equip you by teaching. We'll come into that in a moment. Now go to 2 Corinthians 9. Let's read it together. Verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Are you there? Let's read it. Let's go. And God is able to make all grace. Hold on. The grace here will be what? Huh? Receiving material wealth or giving? Giving. So let's take it together. God is able to make everybody? That you always having all sufficiency in all things, you may what? Abound unto every good work. Now, what did the church in Macedonia abound into? Liberality. So liberality is the good work. You may abound unto every good work. When Jesus began to teach in Luke's Gospel 12, remember, when he called the fool, Luke's Gospel 12 and 10, he calls him a rich fool. He says, you have laid up treasures unto yourself, but you are not rich towards God. In the mind of God, what God calls rich is not what you call rich. You cannot wow God with the kind of car you drive or where your house is. You can't wow Him with how many yachts you bought or how many jets are in your fleet. You cannot wow God. He made the world. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24 and 26 says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. You cannot wow God with that. There's the character of God is not seen in what you have. His character is seen in what you give, and not just what you give, how you give it. That's where you find the character of God. Let me ask you a question. Look at church. How did we get to know God's nature? By what He owns or by what He gave? I'll take that one more time. How do we get to know who God is? By what He owns or by what He gave? So your giving reflects your heart. Your giving reflects your character. Now pay attention again. Like I said, I am not talking strictly about giving things, though it's part of it. Your giving, or better still, your service reflects your heart. Your service reflects your heart. He calls the fellow a rich fool. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 17. Run there quickly. 1 Timothy 6, 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. That's what he calls them. Rich in this world. That they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So, God wants you to enjoy. Tell your neighbor, say, God wants you to enjoy. Gives us all things which you enjoy. Don't forget. He says He gives us all things. There are some things you are enjoying that you don't think you are enjoying. You know, there are people today who, by the virtue of their health, they are paying for oxygen. And they have all the billions, but they are paying for oxygen. Am I making sense here? All things. Richly. Now, when it says richly, pay attention. Richly, the word richly there, is it physical or a description of God's character? Huh? Remember, the riches of the liberality. That is, God does not put conditions in how He gives. That's why believer and unbeliever have access to the riches of this world. Why? He gives us all things richly to enjoy. Hallelujah. That's why a Christian must never be afraid to enjoy things. I taught you that. You shouldn't be afraid. It belongs to God. That's why he said, when someone says he's offering meat offered to idols, he says, they can say it belongs to idols, but you know better. Said the earth is the Lord's of fullness thereof. Paul says, eat asking no questions. Praise God. But when somebody would come from one denomination like that, where their mind is full of idols, spirits, spirit of their father, spirit of their grandfather, he says, for his sake, so that he can go to Living Word Media, he says, you should not eat that meat. Well, the way I found out in that scripture is, I will keep it. Because the point was not eating it in his presence. So I'll keep it in my back pocket. So what is that? Say something that belongs to God. That's what I'm going to tell you. What is it? It's a mystery. What do you mean mystery? It will be revealed in due time. So you should. They'll say, well, 1 billion, if I have 1 billion naira, it will make me lose the kingdom of God. No. It will make you lose the kingdom of God. Money does not affect you if you have given yourself already. It doesn't affect you. When you know the purpose. You know the purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are made rich in Christ. We are made rich in Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Watch this now. So, what is he teaching? Paul is teaching service. Now, I'm going to tell you two kinds of service. Two kinds. Two ways you can serve the Lord. I know I've been teaching this in church, but I just want to bring it out in this teaching. You can serve God from a selfish point of view. And that's how many people are serving the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. What I'm sharing this morning, in several churches, if they teach it, they will lose at least 90% of their workforce. 90% of their workforce. 90%. How do I know? Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 6. Are you aware that people who followed Moses under the law, they were serving God? Are you aware they were serving God? Some of them were priests. They would take animals, alright, and put it in the tabernacle, and most of them had no faith. And they were serving God. They were serving God. The Bible says they were not true worshippers. Because it says, if their conscience had been purged, they would not have need again to offer the same sacrifices year in, year out. So they were serving God out of what? Out of an obligation. Out of guilt. Out of a payback system. Imagine priests, many of them, who will stand at the altar. They will be there all day, but there was no faith. Were they not serving? Were they not serving? Were they serving by faith? And the Bible says everything they did amounted to nothing. And there are ushers, then the music team, praise God, then the technical, then the pastor's protocol. They are there all the time. But they are not there from a clear conscience. That's not why they are there. Luke's Gospel chapter 6. Are you listening? Jesus said, give, verse 38, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken again, run over. Shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now people have used this for giving offering. It's absolute nonsense. Because Jesus is teaching about the law. That in the law of sin and death, what you give is what you get. Judge not, verse 37, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. A transaction mode of service. I want God to bless me. If you want God to change your position this year, go and win souls. If you want God to change the situation of your business, start to come to church every day. If you want. You want to move God. That's why the minute God is not moved and nothing changes in their situation, they either backslide, or if the pastor is smart enough, he creates another law. A deeper sermon. Like, hold on, no. If you don't hold on, say there's this brother, 28 years, he held on. So he said, my own is still 5. I will wait. So they create things for you. But watch this. Look at how Jesus differentiates service in Luke 6. Verse 27. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Verse 28. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Unto him that smites thee on one cheek, offer the other also. And him that takes away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy cloak or coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee. And of him that takes away thy goods, ask them not again. Now, you say, okay, for what purpose? I mean, is that not what you say? I will do it. What else should I give? My eye, I'll do it. For what purpose? Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. Raise your hand if you are. For what purpose? Okay, so what will now happen? So what will not happen? Not happen to the person. What will not happen to me? Brethren, if you do this, if you serve the Lord thy God, He will bless thy bread and thy water, Moses, and He will take sickness away from thee. You are connecting me. So, you are doing it in anticipation of something that will come to you. So, He's saying, do this. If somebody hates you, love him. If someone does this, He said, do this. So, Jesus, I'm following. Verse 31. As you would that men should do to you, do also to them likewise. Hallelujah. How many of you want men to give to you? Okay, me, I want. How many want men to serve you? To forgive you? You know you need that one. You have it. To forgive you. To speak well of you. To support you. He says, what exactly do you want people to do to you? Don't forget. He didn't say, what have people done to you? If he had said that, he would be teaching the law. He says, what do you want people to do to you? What do you want people to do to you? Do it unto others. Now, follow this. Are you there? Let's take verse 32 together. Let's go. If you love them, oh, everybody come on, let's go. If you love them, which love you? What thank have you? For sinners also love those who love them. Verse 33, let's go. If you do good to them, we do good to you. What thank have you? For sinners also even do the same. Verse 34, if you lend to them of whom you have hoped to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. Verse 35, but love you your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Hallelujah. For your reward shall be great. You shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. You therefore be merciful as your father also is merciful. So when you give and serve men, Jesus said, expect nothing. Expect what? Nothing. Expect nothing. Expect nothing. You are not giving material things to get material things. Our reward is at the judgment seat of Christ. That's why Moses despised the treasures of Egypt. Are you there? He despised the treasures of Egypt for the greater riches in Christ. The reward of what you do in service are spiritual. So why do I do them? I do them because I'm a child of God. Praise God. I said, praise God. You can serve God because you want Him to bless you. That's the law. You can. You can serve God for an insurance policy. Somebody thinks an insurance policy. Serve God. Serve God. You want your situation to change. Serve God. That's not the word of God. That's not the grace of God. That's not the grace of God. That was why the church in Macedonia, in spite of their situation, nothing changed. In fact, they went beyond their ability because they were functioning in the grace of God. See, I function in the grace of God. See, I function in the grace of God. I no longer function in selfishness. I no longer function in selfishness. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. You begin to give by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When you give your time, you give your energy, you give your periods. Why? You're studying. Sometimes you're not studying to know, because you already know what you're about to teach. You are studying so that others can get it clearly. Not for any reason. You are praying not because you have problems. Even if you did. You are praying because of other people's problems. And you're not praying so that your own problems will be solved. That's functioning under the law of sin and death. The church, how many of you know that the church in Macedonia understood that they were already rich? Let me see your hand if you know that. How? Were they talking about being rich in their bank accounts? No. Being rich in Christ. Glory to God. They knew that. They knew that already. They functioned in the grace of God. The grace of God has made me rich. I said the grace of God has made me rich. So that means I have something to give. I will always have something to give. To be of a blessing to others. When I'm giving and I'm serving, I'm doing it for others. It's not my own needs that are on my mind. It's the needs of others. Hallelujah. That's why Paul will tell Timothy, he that will live godly in this world will do what? He will what? He will suffer what? He will suffer what? Oh, you didn't say that well. He will suffer what? Persecution. That means the more you serve God, the more what comes to you? Persecution. I thought the more you serve God, things will be smooth. Nope. So there will be persecutions. Jesus said, in the world, John 16:33, there are tribulations and trials, but in me you will have peace. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Philippians 1:29. Let's read that one together. Philippians 1:29. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? For unto you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to what? Suffer for His sake. To allow things for His sake. He says you forgive one another as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. Ephesians 4:32. True service is to serve with the grace of God. You are not serving to get something back. When you serve to get something back, you're functioning under the law of sin and death. You're serving so that the person will get something. When you attend the prayer groups, it's not because so that God will love you more. He has already loved you. When you wake up at night to pray, or 4:30 in our prayer chain, you're not praying for anything than to meet the needs of others. When you attend, you know, your departmental meetings, you are giving. And why is it like that? Why is it smoother for some than others? What did the Macedonian church do? They first of all gave themselves. Have you given yourself? That means, are you available? Are you available? Have you given yourself? Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians 8. One more time. So, he sent Titus, verse 6, that he would teach. We need to start teaching service like this. Not the kind of service people are doing today. Many people, not most people, but many that they are doing. You wonder, what's this about? You find preachers of the gospel come out on television and say, you want 18,000 or something dollar? I said something the other day. Say, you want I never heard Psalm 1 blessing before. It's always Psalm 118. $118. Psalm 90. I have one said Psalm 91 blessing. And I asked one of their children, I said, how come the Americans are so smart? They don't collect these blessings in Naira. Why dollar? Why dollar? And they begin to peddle the blessings of God. I was in a conference and people came out en masse. I could see greed and covetousness. And he came out. The man said, you don't want to be broke again for the rest of your life. Give me $1,000. Give me $1,000. $1,000. And they rushed out to give $1,000. And I saw them. What a shame. What a shame. Is there anything wrong giving $1,000? No. But we don't give to be blessed. That is the law. We give from the point where we know we are blessed. I want to ask again. The church in Macedonia, why were they giving? They were giving because they said, in spite of our situation, we know we are blessed. Hallelujah. We are blessed to do good works. Praise God. Say, I'm blessed to do good works. So in spite of your situation, you know why you keep giving? You know why you keep giving? Because you have been set free from the law of sin and death. That's why you keep giving. That's why someone will be sacked in his office and he'll go for evangelism that day. Someone calls you, so-and-so person. Nobody says, it can never happen to me. I will never lose my job. Are you the owner of the job? Praise God. You know, in this world, you have things like that. Hallelujah. God forbid, bad thing. When that happens, you stop praying. Because you never expected it. You should have expected it. Hallelujah. If you expect it and it happens, not that you want it to happen, but you know that Jesus told you that in this world, there are tribulations and trials. You think it's spiritual tribulations? That you will be tribulating in the spirit. Say in this world. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong giving $1,000. But somebody calls you, I learned that they gave you query at work. You say, yes. Where are you? Let me talk to you. What's going on? Say, give me some 2 hours. No. Don't. See, what are we friends for? I just want to comfort you. Comfort me over what? Say, no, I have a disciple I want to check on. What? Are you okay? You have left that level. Hallelujah. I said you have left that level. The law of the spirit of life in Christ has made you free from the law of sin and death. Situations don't determine your service. You determine your service. You are a master of circumstances. So you are a master of circumstances. Glory to God. You trust in God, not in riches. Praise God. God is able to make all grace abound to what you have in sufficiency. You now abound unto every good work. Are you still there? Are you still there? You have left that level. You have. 2 Corinthians 9, quickly. 2 Corinthians 9. He says in verse 12, for the administration of the sea service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Not only supplies the want of the saints, but abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Look at verse 13. Because it is a wonderful one. Let's read verse 13 together. Let's go. Whilst by the experiments of this ministration, they glorify God. Watch this. The word experiment is the word dokimos. It means a demonstration. A demonstration of this service. Diakonia. Diakonia means to wait on others. What happens? There's a demonstration of this ministration. They glorify God. Now, they glorify God for what? Come on, let's see verse 13. They glorify God for what? Your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. That word is homologia. Your confession. That is, you are saying you are subjected to the gospel of Christ. Hupo, hypotage in the Greek, to be subject to be submissive to. And they say we can see it in the way you act. The character of the gospel is seen in how you serve. Praise God. Praise God. So your service is a proof of your submission to the gospel. What did I say? Not just service, how you serve. See, my service is proof of my subjection to the gospel of Christ. You know, getting born again is not subjection to the gospel. It's believing. Subjection means that you are under the authority of the gospel. We can see it. We can see how you act. We can see how you serve in your department. We can see how you serve in your zone. How you serve in your church. In your campus fellowship. How do you serve? Are there seasons you can't serve? Are there instances where things just change? I recall years ago, something happened in my family. Very painful. And I was called to preach somewhere. And so the pastor heard. So he called and said, oh, no problem, sir. Just to come and see and all that. I said, I'll see you. He said, see me where, sir? So I'm coming. He said, you're still coming to preach? I said, I'll be there. Hallelujah. I'll be there. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Paul was stoned and taken for dead in Acts 14. He got up and the Bible says he went away immediately. And what was he doing? He went to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I walk in the spirit of liberty. I walk in the spirit of liberty. I walk in the grace of God. In spite of the situations and trials Paul had, he went to preach. That's why I told the Lord Galatians, he said, I came to you. My eyes were off. You could see my wounds. Imagine somebody coming to preach to you and he's all beaten all over. He's beaten all over. And he's saying, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. That one doesn't serve himself. He doesn't serve himself. I'm sorry, sir. I cannot go for the follow-up again. Say, why? My leg eats a stone. It's your own. You took your leg to hit the stone. It's your leg. Oh. This man was stoned and taken for dead. And he got up. What was working in him? The grace of God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. That's what we found in Jesus Christ. That's what we found in Jesus Christ. No matter the situation, he was serving. He was serving. Paul was stoned. Imagine when, in Acts 16, when himself and Silas, they were set free. And they were set free, and I said, oh, they were going to probably beat us. Now we are set free. Let's take the first flight to London. He stayed in the house of the jailer and he shared the gospel. You know, most of Paul's letters were written in hardship. All the revelation we have, he was either in jail, in captivity. Nothing changed his service. See, I function in the grace of God. I don't know where I'm talking to anybody. I'm functioning in the grace of God. I'm a master of circumstances. Nothing changes my service. Nothing changes what I do for the Lord. I'm constant. I'm consistent. In season and out of season, I am boiling with the fire of service. So, such people, there's no service. There's no time they don't give in church. There's no time they don't contribute to the work of the ministry. He says, these folks, they don't have it. They went to look for. You'll find people looking for money to bury the dead. What a shame. They look for money to bury the dead. Somebody who is dead. Then those who are alive, they will ignore them. It's the spirit of this world. You'll find people spend a lot of money to make their hair, repair their car, but they cannot use the same money to meet people's needs. They are not functioning in the grace of God. Think about it. I told you, when it comes to prosperity, a Christian must draw the line. Remember that? Was it last year I told you? You draw the line. At what point is enough enough? Because, how many of you agree, if you allow your wants, if you get what you want today, you will still want something else. How many of you know that? So if you don't learn to draw the line, you'll be controlled by desires. You'll be controlled by your wants. You'll be controlled by your wants. There are things I wanted as a younger man. I got them. I said, so that's all. This is all. I want another one. Remember years back, I think I was in Singapore. So we're in the Nokia store. And we saw this phone. The Nokia brand was the topmost brand in the world then. And I wanted that phone. So we got the phone. In fact, when we got the phone, they gave us after sales service and stuff like that. There were so many things they gave us. Years later, I saw how useless that same phone was. So imagine things that I probably had missed doing, which had eternal consequences because I wanted to satisfy an immediate want. Hope you are following what I'm saying. Because what you want today, tomorrow becomes nothing. It just becomes nothing. That's why your pursuit must have eternal significance. What is primary to you must have eternal significance. See, I serve the Lord in sincerity. Hallelujah. Go back there again. He says, for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and your liberal distribution unto them and unto all. Where is the proof of your confession? You believe the gospel? Yes, you do. The gospel means Jesus Christ made himself available for us. Are you available to others? For God so loved the world that he gave. Liberality here is the word haplotis. Same word, 2 Corinthians 8:2. He calls it distribution unto them. The word koinonia. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. And by that prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Let's take verse 15 together. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Hallelujah. In his gifts, we see how we give. I said, in his gift, we see how we give. I said, in his gift, we see how we give. I said, in his gift, we see how we give. The word there is Doria. John 4:10, if you knew the gift of God, you will ask of him and he will give you living water. Acts 2:38, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. You will receive remission of sins and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Acts 8:20, you think that the gift of God can be purchased with money? Acts 11:17, upon the Gentiles as well, and Acts 10:46, was but the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you talk about the gift of righteousness, Romans 5:16, the word doria is also repeated. Romans 5:15 and 17, Ephesians 3:7, Ephesians 4:7, Hebrews 6:4, what God gives, he gives that way. Hallelujah. Serving the Lord should be from the grace of God. Should be from the perspective of the grace of God. Pray for me, I close now. From the perspective of the grace of God. How did Jesus give? Was Jesus giving to meet his own needs? I'm asking you a question. Was Jesus giving because the situations were in the right place? For the subjection to the gospel of Christ. Are you subjected to the gospel of Christ?
Do you act the gospel in the way you give? What are the things we give? We give our time. We are available to pray. We give our effort. We put our energy in the place of prayer. Stop going for prayer meetings out of an obligation. Go for prayer meetings because you know people's needs will be met. How do you serve in your unit? How do you give in church? We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was poor, he was rich, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. How do you serve? How do you serve? How do you serve? What did Macedonia first do? They gave themselves. Say, I give myself. Raise your hand, say, I give myself. Say, I give myself. Do you know when you give yourself, giving money will not matter anymore. Showing up at the right time to serve will not matter anymore. Using your effort will not matter anymore. One time I had just finished a meeting and I had a whole lot of headaches. It was so much. So much. And then I had another meeting the next morning. So I said, are you going to go? I said, I have to. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Paul went to preach with blood all over his body. Pains all over his body. And what he preached, what he taught, is the basis of our faith today. We get to that point, we don't consider ourselves. We consider the gifts, what we are giving. He said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Are there seasons in your life where you don't serve God? You get married, then you go away 2 weeks, say you went for honeymoon, and you forget the flock. You forget the flock. Are you thinking? You are not of this world. You are not of this world. Praise the Lord. You are not of this world. Like a dear brother, he got married and that same day, as he finished the wedding reception, he went to hold his worker's service. That's a minister of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a minister of the gospel. Glory to God. I know women, they'll put to bed on a Monday. On the Tuesday, they are back in prayer meetings. The grace of God is working in us. Hallelujah. We are not selfish people. We are selfless people. He said we are selfless people. Go to Matthew's Gospel 20:28. I'll close from there. Are you learning something? Glory to God. Say, I'm a servant. Say, I'm a servant. Say, I'm a servant. Say, I serve all my life. I serve all my days. I serve all the time. People don't irritate me. Say, people don't irritate me. Hallelujah. Because some people get irritated. Ah. Why are you calling me now? Why are you calling me now? Would you rather have nobody to call you for help? Did you hear what I just said? Would you rather have no one depending on you for their spiritual life? Would you rather have nobody calling you? See, church, serving God is a privilege. It's a privilege. I say to our pastors, if we miss out on what God wants us to do, we will never, in Jesus' name. But God forbid if we do. Others will do it. others will. Because you can get to a point. He's my favorite keyboardist. I like the way he plays. But you see, if he allows you to get into his head, somebody else will play. Is that not true? If I allow this to get into my head, somebody else will do this. It's a fact. It's a fact. Because I'm serving by the grace of God. He gave himself for me. He gave himself for me. So I give myself for others. Matthew's Gospel 20:28. There was this issue. Oh, who will be the chief of all of us? Some people were fighting over who will be pastor. I don't like, they don't call me pastor. John and James, their mom came to church. I don't know what boldness the mom had. You know, there are some parents like that. They'll come and take the pastor. This is what we want you to do to our children. One came one time and said, you have not been coming to follow up my daughter. I'm wondering, are you not a Christian? Follow up yourself. And the mom came and said, I want my children want to sit at your right hand, one on the left. And the other 10 folks were angry. Why were they angry? That means they had the same thing in their minds. Some mean they say, oh, the coordinator of the campus in Futa or UI is brother so so and so. Their service just drops. Why did your service drop? Is that what you came for? We didn't see you in fellowship on Tuesday. It's a long story. Long story. What exactly? For now, I don't want to discuss it for now. Please respect my privacy. Is it by force? Are we under the law? They were fighting. And Jesus said to them, you know, verse 25, that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they are great exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. So it shall not be so. So it shall not be so amongst us. Why? Whosoever will be great among you, let him be what? Your minister. Greatness is service. What did I say? Greatness is service. Greatness is not a position. You can occupy the position of a pastor and you are not serving. Look at verse 27. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Let's take 28 together. Let's go. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Stop there. Came not what? To be ministered unto. Came not what? Ministered unto. Follow on. But to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I'll close here. What is the demonstration of your subjection to the gospel of Christ? It's your service. Your service is proof of your subjection to the gospel of Christ. Are you available? Are you available for others? Many of you enjoy other people's labors and you are not thinking of reproducing the same thing in your own life. Oh, where I stay is very far. How can where you stay be far? People go to work from a distance. Imagine they gave you a job. You say, come and resume as general manager finance of one multinational. You say, where is the office? You say, and they will give you $1 million per year. A car and all that. They say, but we won't give you a house. Then you say, where is the office? Say, VI. I can't make it. I can't make it. I stay in Ibadan. Can't you move to Ibadan? He said, no, we'll move into your house. You say, no problem. Well, I thought I lent you stay in Ilorin. No problem, sir. Ha. No, because we don't want you to be uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. Don't worry. I have a cousin who stays at your gatehouse. I will move inside. But if it were to be a church program, or church, you say it's far. Some people travel for burial 5 days. They go to their hometown. But they come to church 5 days. Why is it 5 days? Why is the program 5 days? I don't understand. Is the things of God so difficult? Why 5 days? How many days do they marry in this country? Huh? They will do introduction of family. People who have already been talking to themselves. They will now do introduction and engagement. They will now do court wedding. Everybody knows themselves. So. They will now do church wedding and reception. 5 activities of something that should not last more than 1 minute. Five-day program. Why? But why? But why? Why don't you tell your lecturers, why is the exam that long? 5 days exam. Why? Why can we not have all the exam at once? See, your mind does not know that what you are doing in the house of God is of a greater significance. Hallelujah. I serve God by grace. Not out of works. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I leave you with these words. Go back to your churches. Your fellowships. Your ministries. And start to serve by grace. Give yourself first. Give yourself first. Before you consider giving offering. Giving your time. Give yourself first. Decide that this is what you are going to use your life for. When you do that, times of prayer will not be difficult. Giving will not be difficult for you. Having temporary pain will not be an hindrance. Having discomfort will not be an hindrance. You will find yourself serving God out of grace. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, whatever situation you find yourself, whether it's financial, emotional, physical, whatever situation, you will see people with the same situation and yet they are serving the Lord. Am I correct? Am I correct? I remember when I was in university, the first university I attended was University of Ilorin. And when I was there, there was a day we went to pray. We had the prayer group, the prayer team. So the leader of the prayer team, we called him Father Nash. So we're about to pray. I was a secretary. We're about to pray. And they now said, oh, then the rains, you know, began to, we saw clouds gathering to begin being so dark. I know Ilorin usually doesn't have rain like that, but that rain was going to like pack the rain for the entire year in one day. So we said, we can't pray. The leader said, I was not the one that said, I'm secretary. So he said, we cannot pray that we come back tomorrow. So I said, the problem. So we're still talking about how to come back the next day because the rain had started falling. Then we saw someone wheeled to the prayer ground. He was wheeled there and then they left him there. And I stood there amazed. Here we were. Full blooded. In fact, some of us had more than 2 legs. The way we walk around shows you have more than 2 legs. This fellow was in a condition and he came here to pray. You will find people in much more difficult situations and serving the Lord. People who don't have your amount of money in their account and are giving consistently. People who don't have the kind of job you do, the kind of business you do, the kind of background financially you have, and they are giving.
Jesus talked about those who were rich, who brought money, and they put it to usury. He said there was a widow who took all she had. Remember that? And put it down. It was small. But Jesus said what she gave was more than what everybody gave. Bow your heads, let's pray. What kind of service do you render in the house of God? Are you giving by grace? Are you available in the service of the Lord? What is the demonstration of your subjection to the gospel of Christ in your church, in your fellowship, in your city, in your town, in your nation? How many times are you available for people in a day, in a week, in a month? I lay down my life daily for